Bava Metzia Daf Yud Beis 12a Gufa is on the fourth line of the Gemara. Gufa Ra'usan Ratzan Achar Metzia, which is an interesting way of introducing Gufa. Usually goes back to a Brisa. This is actually going back to our Mishnah. So I could have just started saying this, we would have known what it was talking about. But going back to our Mishnah, if you see someone running after a Metzia, which is also, it's only a Metzia once you get it, but you found it and then you went started and then you saw other people running after it, and you sort of just declare, "It's on my property. I get it." You know, Amar Zachsa li sadi zachsa lo. So Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu Amar Rabbi Yochanan v'hu shiratz acharein magian. And we had mentioned this yesterday, but we never actually clarified it ourselves, that it's only true that the person claims it through his property when he himself is also able to go get the thing itself. If a person gives a deer or a bird to his friend and they're in the friend's property, so then what's the halacha? Can you do the same thing? So Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, Afa Pisharat Zachrein Ve'en Magian. In that case, when it's matana, as opposed to a mitzia, which you have to claim before somebody else, in that case, you would get it even if you're not able to run after it. And that's important because in our mission, if you remember, we were talking about an injured deer, which is not going anywhere, bless you, which is obviously a lot easier to capture on your own than one, you know, one that's not injured. Okay. Bai Rava Zarak Aran Kib Pesach Zeh V'yatz Pesach Acher. Rava asked, let's say a person threw a purse through one doorway and it went into another doorway.
Purses went out.
Right, it threw it out of one doorway into another. V'yatza b'pesach acher means it goes into somebody else's house.
The way it reads is, I imagine almost like a room where there's a door on one side, a door on the other. Right. Went in here and then out the other.
Right. So imagine like a courtyard or something that you're throwing it from one side to the other, and it goes in somebody else's house. I think the halal. Well, I think we're talking about here if. Hold on, do you mean to say that it goes through the house and then out the house? It could be.
That's the way I read it, but I
think that's what it is talking about. We're talking about when it's in the airspace of the first house.
Because
the next part,
it says here,
Mahu.
It's a question.
Right.
Under Mahu, it says, does the owner of the house acquire the purse? So it sounds like it's going through a house.
Right. Mahu avir she'en sofa lenoch kemuach dami ola. This, I believe we asked this, or we talked about this at least in some way, in Erevin, that when something traverses, I guess is the right word, traverses another person's private domain, does that private domain have any bearing on the ownership of the item? Meaning, can you say, hey, it went through my house, that means it's mine.
Well, I think specifically here the question is more the airspace.
Right.
It's not
right.
Landing.
Right, exactly, right.
House.
Does a person's home include airspace? Or does the ownership of a home include the airspace of the home? That's one way to look at it. You could look at it otherwise.
Or does airspace, you know, create ownership?
Right. There are different ways to look at it. So, Amalei Rav Papa.
It also speaks socially, you know, societally, to have small homes.
Yeah, that's right. For sure. Yeah, if you can throw it through a house. Amrila Rav Papa Lareva, Amrila Rav Ada Bar Masna Lareva, Amrila Ravina Lareva. Somebody said to Rava, Hainu Masnis, and that's our Mishnah. How is that our Mishnah? Ro, son Ratzon Achar Metzia, Amr Rabbi Yirmiyah, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Vahu Shiratz Acharein Magian. Ubay Rabbi Yirmiyah, right, we just said this, Matana Heyach, Vakabla Mine Rabbi Yaba Bar Kahana, Matana Afavi Shiratz Acharein Vain Magian. You're zocha it, even if when you run after it, by a matana, you run after it and you're not able to get it. In this case, the purse is going through the house. You weren't able to get it. So then maybe you could say that so too, just like you would acquire by a matana, you would acquire it just by running after it and showing that you want it. So too here, just by going through your own house, I guess you're running after it. I'm not sure if you are, but you should be zocha to it also. This is a little different, though, I would think, because the person throwing it through the house, I'm not sure the person is throwing it to that person. Like, is he just off target and it goes through the house, or is he just like throwing it away? So Amar Leh, Rava says back to whoever said that, one of the four people we quoted, Misgagel Kamart. Misgagel Kamart. You're talking about something which is on the ground.
He's asking rolling. Sort of as a question. Like, you're getting a proof from an object that's rolling?
Right, like the deer that's on the ground or the bird that's on the ground. Shani Misgagdichemunach Dami. Those are on the ground, and therefore it's obvious that's part of your property, or at least there's a greater credibility that it's under your auspices, and that's why it's more lenient. But this thing never even touched the ground, and therefore we don't know, and therefore I guess teku. I'm not sure. Do not answer it. Says the Mishnah, Mitzias Benobi Tokatanim, Mitzias Abdul Vishivchaso Knanim, Mitzias Ishto Hare Elu Shalo. His children, his servants, male or female, and the mitziah of his wife, so those all belong to the man. Mitziah's beno, bito, agdol, mitziah's adav, shichas ha'ivrim. If, however, it's found by his older kids or his Jewish servants, mitziah's ishto, shigirsha, or his wife that divorced him, interesting, havamina there. Afavish lonas and ksuba. Oh, that's why, okay. Meaning they're divorced, but he never sort of paid his due. And maybe you could say they're not divorced. They're still divorced even without a ksuba. I don't know. Let's see what the Gemara says. Maybe it's a kenas
really
thing.
What it's saying is, yeah, like this is a way of paying.
It's a penalty, right. This is his.
You pay yourself by looking for stuff.
I don't know about
that. Ridiculous.
I mean, you're just not going to pay off.
I understand somebody making that argument.
I hear. Oh, let's see what the Gemara says. So, Hare Elu Shelahen. In all of those cases, they belong to the person who finds it, not the father, husband, or owner.
But at the same time, I understand the logic of saying not to add insult to injury. She's not getting her ksuba payment. And, oh, by the way, the stuff she finds still belongs to her husband.
Right. I guess the onus is on the husband at that point. We're not going to give him anything more than he deserves. Right. So says the Gemara, Amar Shmuel, Mibnei Ma'amar Tzias Katan La'aviv. Why is it the child goes to the father? Shebesha Shemotza Meritza Eitzel Aviv. V'eino Ma'achara Biado. Why does it go to the father? Because when the child finds something, he will run and give it to the father. Uh-huh. So this is one of those descriptions where it's kind of like, well, what if he doesn't do that, right? It's not really literally, because he does that, therefore it's his. But what it means is that we see a child categorically as an extension of the father. We see that child is basically, when they pick it up, it's for the sake of the father.
L'meimer d'sever Shmuel katan leisli zechil nafshin d'arsa. Today, he's running, look what I found. This is mine. Look what I found.
That could be. Maybe in 2024, it's a different reality. But I think that's why, again, why I think what we're saying is basically that's how it should be. That's how we look at it. That's how whatever. But you're right. And, you know, I think a child today probably be a little different. But Shmuel then questions, or we question Shmuel. Does Shmuel hold that a child isn't zocha midaraisa? Isn't a child not able to gain ownership of something on his own? And in this case, we are overriding whatever din drabanan is possible for a child to acquire something. And we're saying, in this case, we're saying that Tzias katan la'aviv. But wait a second, Vatanya, doesn't Shmuel say about the following brisa, hasochres apoel, someone who hires a worker, yilakeit beno acharav, the child of that worker can gather afterwards?
The gleanings, what a conflict of interest.
Why? The child is working for the father who's working for the
father's. I presume that what he's doing is he's getting.
You're saying that the child gives it to his own father.
Right.
He's doing it to his own father, right? So the father is the employee, and the kid, bring your kid to work day, he's taking all the stuff the father drops or whatever and gives it for himself.
Careless.
Yeah, right. That keeps dropping all this stuff. I wonder why. Lemechza, so what does that mean? If, however, he's only lemechza, if the worker is hired for half.
Or a third or a fourth.
L'shlish v'l'raviyah, lo yilakei b'no acharav. What does that mean? It's like a sharecropper situation?
A sharecropper usually actually raises the crops. Here he seems to be...
collecting?
He seems to be actually getting paid for just the harvesting as part of the crops. I mean, it's like a sharecropper, except a typical sharecropper does a heck of a lot more work.
Right. I'm saying, so what's the case? What's he doing here?
A sharecropper would get like 80%. A sharecropper would get normally 70%, 80%.
I didn't know it was that high. Okay. So here what we're saying is he gets half, a third, or a fourth of anything that he picks up. In that situation, then the child cannot pick up after him.
Because
it's a proportionate thing.
It says, for although the laborer is not poor anymore, because he has all this stuff.
Right. He's got what he's got. Oh, so basically in the first case, are we saying that the child's share that he picks up goes to the father as his payment?
No, I think we're saying the father...
The first case.
The father's a poor guy.
Right.
And so therefore he's getting paid to do this, but he can also be gleaning.
So if he's getting paid money...
He's still poor.
He's still poor, but if he's getting paid from what he collects...
Interpretation here. I don't know if you have something different.
I'm trying to figure it out. Okay, so I hear... I think I see what we're saying. We're talking about leka chicha and peya here.
Yeah.
So leka chicha and peya, the question is really, do they have the status of an ani to collect leka chicha and peya? When he collects, and part of what he's collecting is his own, so then he has effectively already acquired some of it when he picks it up. So therefore, the son can't pick up leket shicha and peya anymore. As opposed to the worker, I guess, hasn't been paid yet. And so the child, at the moment that he's picking it up, can still acquire leket shicha and peya. Rabbi Yossi Omer, ben kach ben kach, yilaket beno vishto acharav. V'yomer shmo halach Rabbi Yossi, mipasuk Rabbi Yossi, you're allowed to do that. The child can do that. We don't know exactly why that is. But maybe we'll get to it later. So, Iyamar Bishlam Katan Isle Zichil and Afshe. If we're going to say that the child is able to pick it up, Ki Kamalake and Afshe Kamalake. Right? When the child is picking things up, so it makes sense because he's picking it up for himself. And even if his father's making money, his father's making, you know, he's collecting the food on his own, and therefore he's not an ani anymore. The child is still an ani, and he's able. So the child is still able to collect. And then vavo mine kazachi. And then the father afterwards will get what his son took picked up. So that makes sense. Ela iamar katan leis lezachil enafshe ki kam lakel avid kam laket. Avo asher here amai ishto v'na lakt an achrav. Why would it be like the Tanakhama is claiming that the child's able to collect after the father? You know, following the father, if the father is already an usher. So now the child is just an extension of the father, in which case he should not be zocha, he should not be able to collect like a shicha and peah as he is a proverbial rich person at that point. That's only going to Shmuel. The Tanakhama actually does say that. But according to Shmuel, who says that the child can still collect, so then why is he allowed to? So Shmuel Tama Ditana Didan Kamar Vele Los Virle. All right, sorry. Shmuel is the one who's saying this, and therefore that seems to contradict what Shmuel said over here, that the child essentially is an extension of the father. So now we're saying, no, Shmuel's explaining our Mishnah, but he's not explaining his own personal opinion. His personal opinion is that the child does have the ability to be zocha. But our Tanav, our Mishnah, says the child is not. He's just explaining why. And he said, if you remember, he said, because the child will go bring the lost item to the father. You know, look what I found. So he's just explaining. He doesn't actually believe that himself. He believes that a child could get something on his own. There's Rabbi Yossi, who Shmuel is claiming we paskin like. Does Rabbi Yossi really hold that a child can be zocha something midaraisa v'hatzana? Does the Mishnah say in Gittin mitzias chereshot v'katzan yesh ven mishum gezel mibnei dar kishalom that the shota the chereshot v'katzan, if they find something, the chachamim say they are allowed to acquire that. And if somebody steals from them, they'll have to pay back to the Chayr Shad of a cousin. I think that's what it's saying, right? I think that means that's what it means. Meaning if the Chayr Shad of a cousin finds something, we don't want somebody else to come along and say, oh, they're a Chayr Shad of a cousin. They don't really own that. And therefore, they grab it away from them. But that implies that Midaraisa, they do not actually have it. It's on the Chachamim that say that. But then Rabbi Yossi comes along and says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Gezel Gamor. Forget about Takanas Chachamim. It's not because the rabbi said it that it's Gezel. It's Gezel because it's Gezel Midaraisa. So that would imply, that statement would imply that Rabbi Yossi, that's actually consistent with Rabbi Yossi, that really they do get a Midaraisa. The Yom Rav Chista, but the problem is that Rav Chista comes along and says, when Rabbi Yossi said that, he meant Gezel Gamor Midivrayim. It's a real gezela according to the Chachamim. Nafka mina lahotzia b'dayanim. In order, meaning, what does that mean, gezel gamor midivrayim? What it means is that even Rabbi Yossi would say that you could, Rabbi Yossi would even say that you could use judges to extract whatever item it was. I guess according to the other opinion, it's only because of Darkei Shalom, and therefore you couldn't like bring him to court over this. But that implies that Rabbi Yossi holds that this gezel is only midivrayim, it's only midirabanan, because the katan, chayr shat of a katan, would only be zocha and the item midirabanan. So therefore Rabbi Yossi can't claim that a child is zocha midiraisa, because we have in this Gemara that it's not midiraisa, that when they found the item, stealing it from them would be only midivrayim, would only be midirabanan. Not Midaraisa. So then what is the reason for Rabbi Yossi? Why does Rabbi Yossi claim that a child could pick up after the father? Elam Rabbi Abaye, Amar Abaye, Asa'uha Kimi Shaholchu Ba Nemushos. We make this field as if it is full of...
We treat it as if the last gleaners had passed through, so the poor themselves dismissed from their mind, thinking that the son of the laborer would gather the gleaning. In other words, when they see the son of the laborer, they're gleaning, they give up and say, that's going to be totally picked over. It like the last of the poor people.
Uh-huh. Nemushos here I have translated as like old people.
Yeah, so...
They're the ones that come in after everyone.
When the old people have done their gleaning, nobody else bothers. Figure they go so slowly, nothing will be left. They miss nothing.
Uh huh.
When the old people go to do the
right,
it's done. It's done.
Nobody even checks that field anymore.
Nobody even checks it. So the same one.
Daniem gufayu machsidatayu, because even the poor people basically say, you know, they put it out of their minds. Savri bri brei deheach malaktile. So there, I think that's the parallel here is the saying that Rabbi Yossi is claiming that when they see the child following the father, it's basically like they're just picking up hefker. And that's why the Chacham said that the child is able to pick up because nobody else is going to want it.
This is a conflict of interest. Dad, oops.
Right. Yeah, no, it is an interesting situation. So basically, the reason why it's okay, it's not saying that the child actually is zocha to it, but what it's saying is that we will allow the child to pick up because no one else wants that stuff anymore. It's basically all the, even the poor people have yeush, which you know, that's a far threshold. Even the poor people don't want it anymore. Amrali Rav Ad Bar Masin Labaye, Rav Ad says to Abaye, V'chimut Ladon Harbitz Arib Zoch Sadeo Kidei Sheyiru Aniyim V'Yivrechu. You're basically putting that stumbling block inside of the field, meaning you are allowing the child to do that.
If the only reason the son is permitted to glean is that his presence keeps the poor away, though he's not legally entitled to glean.
Right, meaning before you bring the kid in, you shouldn't be allowed to bring the kid in.
Right.
Because you're effectively telling poor people to not come anymore, and that you can't do that. That's like putting putting a lion in your field. So then nobody comes and takes your stuff. And when you're obligated to allow people to take your stuff. Ella Amar Rava. So Rava is now saying, no. Asu she'enu zocha gezocha. We are taking a child in this situation who's not zocha, and we are making it as if they are zocha. Why? My time. the poor people themselves are okay with it. Ki echad chiyagur ledidhu nilko banahu basrayu. Oh, I hear that. Interesting. When those poor people want to go and work a field, you know, they want their children to be able to do it also. So it's basically one big, you know, not conspiracy, but a cooperation that all the poor people basically say, okay, let's all agree we're not going to put up a fuss if someone's kid is working with their father and picking up after them, because if we were there, we would want them to do the same thing. So it's basically one big agreement. Kind of an interesting
only
thought.
The laziest or the most disabled who aren't capable of working as laborers themselves.
They would probably still be upset.
They'd still be upset.
I don't know. Ooh, pliga. You know, from my psychological point of view, I would probably say that maybe there's an aspect of sensitivity that the poor people have for other poor people. Meaning it's not literally, well, I want that to happen to me next time. But it's saying basically we understand the plight of the poor person and how difficult it would be to not have their child help out, whatever. Upliga. And Shmuel disagrees, Rebbe Yechia bar Abba. Ad Rebbe Yechia bar Abba. Shmuel, who says that the Mishnah is basically about the child who would run to the father to show the lost item, disagrees with Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, lo gadol gadol mamash, lo katan katan mamash, el gadol v'samach ha-shulchan aviv, ze katan, katan v'enu samach ha-shulchan aviv, ze gadol. What we're talking about here is really dependence. If you're a dependent, so then you're a katan. If you are an independent, you're not dependent on your father's income. Even if you are a child, so then you're still a katan. So if you're independent, then you're still a gadol for the sake of this and the mitzvah. So basically, just based on context. Okay, mitzvah avdus shirchas avrim harehu shel atzman, that the Jewish maidservant or servant is able to collect it from. Says Amai, why? Why would that be any different? Just because they're Jewish? Why does that mean that they no longer belong to their owner? Amai lo yehei ela poel. Vitanya mitzias pol atzmo. Oh, this is a question. Am I? Hold on. Oh, then it's b'mad v'mavurim b'zman she'amar lo na'kech imi hayom adori imi hayom. When they specifically were asked to do a task, but not to work generally. About amar lo asei imi malacha hayom mitzias l'bal bayis. The only time that a worker would be able to keep a lost item that he finds or she finds is when they were tasked to do a specific item and they did that specific task, and therefore anything else that happens is on their own, you know, is on their own ledger. They can pick up things on their own. But in the case of a whole day worker, like you are mine today, you're working for me today, just generally, so even the mitzvah for that would go to them. So in this case also, if you're the Eved, you're always sort of considered like a asemi malacha hayom type of porker. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, hach ve'eved nokev margolios haskinan. She'en rabba roti l'shanos l'malacha acheres. We're talking about an Eved who has a very specific task all the time. He is a pearl puncturer.
Such as
someone who makes holes, I guess, for necklaces or something,
yeah.
to put holes in pearls or gems. I don't know how to translate margolios here.
It says pearls.
Okay, so in that case, it's similar to a worker with a specific tax. Rav Amar b'magbia mitzia imelachto askinan. What does that mean?
Dealing with a servant who picked up a found item while doing his work.
And that makes it better. I have here an interesting thought, that the only time we say that a worker's mitzia, a worker's found item, goes to the employer is when the worker should have been working, and this is almost like in reimbursement of not working in that moment. So meaning, if you're, you know, cleaning the backyard and you find a lost item. So, oh, look at this. You should be cleaning at that moment. Why are you picking up a lost item at this time? So that's almost like you have to give that to the owner because like you should have been working. But here, what we're saying is somehow the work itself included, I don't know, let's say you're working for somebody and you're sifting through dirt to find gold, and then you find some
the
other thing.
The finding of the object involved no interruption in the right. servant's work.
So he doesn't owe anything to the owner, the employer. Rav Papa Amar, I still think it's an interesting thought. I don't think I would have said that before. Rav Papa Amar, kegon shescharo lelaket mitzios ve'echid amid da'akpe agma b'chavrei. I've seen these words before. You went to go pick up lost items. But how could that be?
Where a meadow has been flooded and the fish remained after the waters have receded.
What's the situation where he's just picking up fish?
It says the employer might hire workers specifically to collect the ownerless fish.
And therefore what? Therefore he gets to pick up any lost item that's not a fish?
No, this is when, I think the point here is this is when the lost item specifically definitely does belong to the,
So then what, I mean, the Mishnah had said, Harei Yishal Atzman.
Rav Papa says, the object found by the hired laborer belongs to the employer when the employer hired him to collect ownerless objects. As for instance, when a meadow was flooded with fish. When a meadow was has been flooded and the fish remained after waters receded.
Her papa is teaching us when it would go to the owner?
I don't think
Rav Papa is talking about the worker. The worker case, the Brisa, not our Mishnah. The Brisa which says that the lost item found by the worker goes to the owner, that's only in a case where the owner is saying, go find the lost item. But that's for a worker case. Our Mishnah is not talking about a worker case in their case, and therefore it's a completely different situation. Okay. Hai shiv chahe chidami. What kind of maidservant are we talking about? That's a Jewish maidservant. Eid aizi shtei saros mai bayagabe. If the maidservant has already matured, so then why is she working? She should be freed. Vidlo aizi. And if she's not have two pubescent hairs, so vidlo aizi shtei saros. So why would it go to the master? It should go to the father. If she doesn't have a father, she should go free when the father dies. Okay, the girl gains her freedom when the father dies. He says, why Rish Lakish is the Chiddush of Rish Lakish? Mirshus ha'adon v'kal v'chomer. V'lo itos of Rish Lakish. And nobody... Oh, v'lav itos of Rish Lakish. Isn't it true that we objected to Rish Lakish? Neime v'hainami t'havit yivta. Yeah, we already did... dismiss Rish Lakish. Maybe our Mishnah is also another instance where you can prove that we dismiss Rish Lakish, because here we're saying that the girl, the lost item of the maidservant, does go to herself, not to her father, or not to the estate. I guess I don't know. Either way, I mean, it's still that she's still a maidservant. In this case, the Mishnah could be that when she does have a fire, why does it say that it still belongs to the girl, even though she has a father? What does it mean that it goes to them? La fuke deraba. It means to her as opposed to the owner, as opposed to the master. Not her, meaning literally her. Okay. Could have saw that coming. Mitzias Ishto, a wife that was divorced without a ksuba, Gersha Pshita. If she's divorced, of course. Tachma Haskin, Migreshes, Vain Migreshes. She's divorced, but she's not divorced. Dev Rabbi Zera, Mary Shmuel, Komak Mishamar Chacham Migreshes, Vain Migreshes, Baal Achayav Mizonasal. In any case where we have this label, where it's a quasi divorced case, it's divorced, she's divorced, but she's not divorced, so then the husband is still obligated to sustain her. The only reason why the found item goes to a husband is because we don't want them to fight. But hacha isle eva ve'eva, they're already fighting. And therefore, what's the point? You know, just let her have it. Says the Mishnah Matzah Shterichov, if you find, what is it, loan documents? Im yesh behen achrayas nechasim lo yachzer. If they are tied to a piece of land, if it says on the shtar that you know the land will be leaned for this loan, so then lo yachzer, you don't give it back. Shebeistin nefrayin mehen, because beistin will collect from the land that was leaned. And maybe there's some kind of psul with the shtar, and the beistin is going to use it without proper, I guess, confirmation. Ein ben achrayis nechasim, if there's no lien, so then yachzer shem beistin nefrayin mehen. If there's no lien, so then no beistin is going to pick it up. I mean, why not? They don't know that it was stolen. Tiv Rebbe Meir. That's going to be there. Chama omer benkach benkach lo yachzer mishu beistin nefrayin mehen. That the beistin will see a shtar and they'll say, oh, you can go collect on the shtar. I don't know why they would not collect on it, just because it has a history of being lost and then found again. B'mayaskina, says the Gemara, ilam k'shchayv modem. If we're talking about a case where the borrower admits that he owes the money, even if it has, you know, even if it has a lien on it, why wouldn't you give it back? Hamoda, he agreed he has to pay. So it wouldn't be a psul, there wouldn't be any problem with having that document. If it's a case where he didn't admit, if there's no lien on the document, lien for land on the document, so then why would you give it back? Even if there's no lien on the document, okay, fine, you won't be able to collect from lien property, but you won't be able to collect from free property either. Because it's, you know, a potential no good shtar. This guy doesn't agree that he has to pay. So l'olam kishachayiv moda. Really, we're talking about a case where the borrower agrees, admits that he has to pay. V'achayinu on time of the reason why we wouldn't give it back when it has a lien property. D'chashin yishem akasav l'lvos b'nisan v'lo lava atishrei. V'asi l'mitraf l'kuchel shlo kedin. We're worried that it says that the borrower wrote on the shtar that he collected it in Nisan, and he really didn't collect it until Tishrei. And because it was, because of the difference in time, you know, he could be usurping monies that could go to somebody else before him. When they're paying it back, maybe, I don't know. Or a lien property that was already sold before he actually got his loan. So when it says, Ihachi, if that's the case, it's all just a timing question. Kol shtari da'as l'kaman, nechosh l'hachi. We should be worried about all shtaros.
Lost or not.
Right. That they might be mislabeled. So kol shtari lo rie. We don't, says the Gemara, no, we don't worry about that because all documents, we don't find anything that's wrong with them. Hani rie. But these, we do find something because it was, you know, it was fallen, it was lost, it wasn't taken care of, and we're worried because it wasn't taken care of, maybe it's no good for some reason. Okay, I hear that. People could just lose it, but that's their fault. But if you find a document that's not being properly cared for, so then presumably it's, you know, possibly not cared for in other ways too. Elohadit nan, but the Mishnah of Rav Basra says, Kosrin shtar l'lova afavish en malve imo. You can write a document for a borrower even if the lender's not there. How could you do that? Maybe he put the wrong date on there. And then other people will be able to collect on it without, or not collect, depending on who we're talking about, with improper basis, because the document's wrong. So Amar Vasi, Bishtari Hakna'a Dahashabid Navshe. We're talking here about documents that are, I guess this is only like the finalizing document.
It's notes of acquisition, because the debtor's obligated himself to pay the sum stipulated in the note, regardless of whether the loan is made or not.
Okay. I guess the point is he already agreed to pay it regardless of when.
It says the borrower gives the person named as the lender an immediate lien against his real property for the amount recorded as the loan, even in the event the lender doesn't lend him the money. In this case, the apprehension that the loan didn't take place is irrelevant.
Because he already basically took place. Right. By giving it. Okay, Shkaya.